Union University presents Faculty Focus, a series of podcasts illuminating the benefits of academic research leave. Faculty members at Union are awarded research leaves that vary in length from a semester to a full academic year. These concentrated studies frequently result in new publications and updated material for classroom teaching, but each experience is unique. Join us now as we document and showcase another research leave experience at Union University.
Welcome to another edition of Faculty Focus. My name is Mark Kaler, and we are here today with Dr. Brad Green, who teaches in the Theology and Missions School here at Union University. Dr. Green, thank you for being with us today.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here. Thanks.
Tell us a little bit about your faculty research leave. Just give us the basics of what you did and what you set out to do and perhaps how it actually turned out as opposed to what you were planning.
Oh, sure. Well, glad to be here. Well, my dean was kind enough to recommend that I go ahead and apply, and the committee and the board of trustees were kind enough to grant the research leave, so I'm thankful to Union for the opportunity. My wife, Diane, and I and our three children, Caleb, Daniel, and Victoria, we packed up and went to Cambridge, England for 4 months. And really the heart of my leave was actually to read and write and to work. We did play some and travel some, but the heart of it was I studied for 4 months at Tyndale House in Cambridge, which is really one of the preeminent biblical theological studies libraries and places of study. So lots of other scholars there.
Dr. Guthrie spent some time there too.
That's right. George Guthrie was there four or five years ago now or so.
Right.
And it helped him, and so we've swapped stories about loving Cambridge, and so my purpose was, of course, it's fun just to get away and all that, but I really was, in a sense, finishing or putting the final touches on three books, which had been kind of chipping away over time, and I spent about the first 5 or 6 weeks doing that, and then the rest of the time, I was working on a fourth monograph in biblical theology. Thus, Tyndale House was a good place to be because it's really looking at what the Scripture says about obedience and faithfulness in the life of a believer. And then, just for fun, I worked through a Latin grammar and started working through a Hebrew grammar. So,
just for fun.
Just for fun.
All right. Was it what you expected? I mean, we've heard about Tyndale House. We've heard about, we know the great Cambridge academic traditions that are there. When you got there, were there any surprises in store, or was it pretty much what you expected?
Well, yes and no. Some of both, I guess. I'd been to Tyndale House just for a couple days to give a paper at a conference about 2 years before the sabbatical, so I knew something of the place. And we had not really spent a lot of time in Cambridge. We loved the city. We loved being in and around the city. We loved all the walking and all the family time. Tyndale House, just one fun story, you generally share a study booth, you might think of it, or a two desks in one room. And I walk in, and here is Don Hagner. And Don Hagner is a senior New Testament scholar. He helped edit the revised version of George Eldon Ladd's Theology of the New Testament. So I'm a small fry walking into, this bigwig's to study with him. He kind of looked at me and was sizing me up, and he the next day he says, "Well, I went on the web to see if you're a bona fide scholar. It looks like you are, so look forward to having 4 months with you here." So the experiences of meeting some of your heroes, making new friends, meeting other scholars from PhD students to folks retired was as much a blessing as the actual opportunity to read and write.
That must have been quite an experience to have somebody look you in the eye and say that.
Don and I became actually good friends, and I love the man, and we enjoyed each other. I think he enjoyed me, and I enjoyed him. But it was funny when I walked in the second day, and he said, "Well, I wanted to make sure you were the real deal, so I've been to your website, and you look like you got it. You're okay, and so I look forward to our time together." Because you're about two feet away, and you're swapping who's going to change the heat and who's going to, what's going to be like. So, but he was a great inspiration and proved to be, I think, today is still a good friend.
As I understand the way this works, you could be working on two completely different projects, but yet may be able to share some insights or some methodology that you wouldn't be able to do sitting in your office here at Union.
That's right. Yeah. If you're doing theology or biblical studies, that whole realm, Tyndale House is wonderful. The library is not big geographically per se, but it's floor to ceiling books and journals, and you can have what you want in 30 to 60, 90 seconds, and you get to use the book, and then you put it back on the shelf when you're done. It's informal in that sense. But I was working through the Hebrew grammar, and so I'd go 20 feet away and ask someone about some point of Hebrew grammar and turned over to Don Hagner and say, Don, what do you think Paul's saying here? And then two times a day of coffee and tea. And so you meet with the other scholars and just an informal time to chat. And here's Gerald Bray and here's Dan Block and here's Stephen Williams. These are theologians, biblical scholars. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty heady. It's pretty fun. And you kind of see your own weaknesses. You might see your own strengths, but you get to learn from a variety of scholars, and that's just really irreplaceable. And I love Union, but there is something fun about sitting in Cambridge for 4 months with these kind of guys.
Now, what did your family think about this experience? How did they benefit?
Yep. Well, it was interesting. We'd heard, your children might get homesick, and in actuality, the children loved it. Diane loved it. We homeschooled there. I did Latin 3 days a week with the children, and Diane did really the bulk of the rest. They weren't homesick. We would take the train to go see a cathedral, would take the train into London on the weekend and play. And the children are eager to go back. They adapted very well. They made friends. My daughter Victoria can do a mean British accent now. It's very good. But no, they adapted well. We picked up rugby. We bought a rugby ball. We bought and brought home cricket equipment. And so I don't think the children are ready to become Brits, but they adapted very, very well.
Wow, that's great. Now, how did the research leave benefit you in practical terms? Obviously, being around these scholars that you've mentioned, tremendous experience. What were the practical benefits for you?
Yep. I think we've been in Jackson 12 years, and when you've been somewhere 12 years, you've invested, you don't always realize maybe the level of commitments you have at Union, at church, in our children's school, friends, and just Boy Scouts, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so a sabbatical, we call it a research leave, but it can be both. It can be research leave as well as a rest from a lot of your normal responsibilities, which allows the research to take place. So for, I think, me, it was getting away from many responsibilities here and having a different rhythm of life. And so it benefited me. Actually, I had intensive time to study. But in the evenings, I was just reading things that I hadn't had time to read for a long time, which I think, besides this or that book coming out, I'll be a better professor because I've had time to stop and read and think. And you just kind of deepen your well of what you're reading, what you're thinking. Are you making sense of things in your discipline? So both at the personal, physical, spiritual, intellectual level, it was both a rest but a real time of rejuvenation and digging into some things I've wanted to read about for a long time. Actually, just having intensive time to do that.
We're speaking with Dr. Brad Green, who is a professor here at Union University in the School of Theology and Missions. And that I'm still learning to say that because we used to call it Christian Studies, and it's very purposeful. Got
to
get used to saying that. I've been impressed with the books that you've written. Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah, thank you. It's been a blessing to see it happen. There's three projects that I was kind of finishing there and then working on a fourth. The one book is called The Gospel in the Mind, Recovery and Shaping the Intellectual Life, and that really comes out of teaching at a Christian liberal arts college as well as helping found Augustine School. That's just finally getting on paper a lot of things that have been bouncing around in the head for a long time on the relationship between the Christian faith and the intellectual life. The other work comes out of really a class I teach at Union called Great Texts and Theologians 1, which looks at certain older from, say, the 2nd century up through the 13th century key theologians. That really comes out of that class and edited that, contributed to that, and asked other scholars to write certain chapters, and that's now being used in that text, that class, Great Text. The third piece was my dissertation, which had been done but was cleaned up a bit and prepared publication. Then the fourth book really comes out of the class I teach at Union called Biblical Theology. And that book is on called Covenant and Command, Works, Faithfulness, and Obedience in the New Covenant. That's what is the role of our works or our obedience, our faithfulness when we're saved by grace, and trying to affirm that we are saved by grace, we're justified by faith alone, but that when one is justified by faith and united to Christ by faith, then there should be works and obedience and faithfulness that are that we're marked by. We're not justified by them, but we're marked by those kinds of realities. So, so I'm very, very thankful, and those things are now coming out. I think that just that I think students need to see that their professors are still learning and still thinking, and that there's a real active mind in there in front of them, you know, teaching their classes. So.
And these faculty research leaves really do demonstrate that to your students. I'm sure they miss everybody when they're gone during this time. But can you talk about the next steps and the further development that might come out of this faculty research leave experience, yep. Maybe starting with what you just mentioned?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the three books were really wrapped up. You know, the research leave allowed me concentrated time to get work done on that. We're already planning another trip back to Cambridge for more research. All sorts of things come out of this. Other book projects with scholars there that are in the works and that are at the idea level, or we've spoken to a publisher and we're trying to move things ahead. There's a book on baptism, a book on Christianity and the environment that are all in the at different levels of work that really are that come out of just the time to read and think, and then another book on Christianity and science that I'm talking to a fellow about working on. So, yeah, I think if done right, you're always kind of finishing one project and working on another, and Lord willing that if I remain healthy and all the rest and have many years, I'll keep working hopefully to the glory of God with writing and research and all that, hopefully making for a better classroom teacher as well.
Now, what would you tell folks? There is a certain amount of risk involved here when you go out and do this. I think there are some people who are maybe a little skeptical in the beginning. Is this really something I want to do? Did you go through any of that when you considered this? And what would you tell, how would you counsel folks who are thinking that now?
Well, I think for me it was a yippee factor. You know, I get to go read and write and have fun and all the rest. And I would say that, you know, think back to I'm using an analogy. Think back to your first love. Our first love as scholars and teachers, we may not all be sitting around writing books, but there still should be a love for the task of research and using the mind and applying ourselves and going for it. So I would say try to save up a little money so you have some money to pull this off. Union is gracious in giving you know, you're paid if you do a semester off, but you still got to pay for the flight and all the rest. So save a little money and think of all the books you've been wanting to read and things you've been wanting to work through. And go find your hero or go find a group of scholars that you resonate with and spend 4 months learning from them and contributing to their community. And so I'd say remember your first love, at least one of your first loves, the enjoyment of the intellectual life and the enjoyment of learning, and take 4 months to kind of dig deep again.
We've been speaking with Dr. Brad Green, who is a professor here at Union University in the School of Theology and Missions. Dr. Green, thank you for sharing just a little bit about this experience with us.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
You've been listening to Faculty Focus, a production of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. Union integrates top-tier academics with Christ-centered learning in more than 100 fields of study. Union University, excellence-driven, Christ-centered, people-focused, future-directed.